Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with the second tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search second tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Ramble React. No goals at Brighton for the Seagulls or the Wolves. I'm Marcus Speller.
And I'm Luke Moore.
Nil, bloody nil. Brighton always score at home this season, we were told. Look, well, let's do a ramble react. There'll be goals. Yeah. Not one of the buggers.
Right, get on your back and think of England, because we just have to get through this. Okay, it's not really pleasurable for either of us, but it's our duty.
Yeah.
What annoys me, Marcus, is, sorry, but at the start of the month, we're plotting out the ramble react.
Yeah, we are.
And producer Finn asked me to if I wanted to do one. I did suck through my teeth a bit and go,
yeah.
Are people going to want it?
Yeah. Well, let's make them want it, shall we?
Yeah, you better want it. Who wants it the most? Because I'll tell you what, neither Brighton nor Wolves wanted it the most, and that's why neither of them scored.
Exactly. What I can promise is that we will finish with a nice little dessert of African Cup of Nations stuff, because there's been some quite sensational happenings there. But before that, though...
So keep them wanting more.
Exactly, yeah. But let's show them what we can do, all right? We've got an out-of-tune guitar and a drum that's only half there. But let's show them what we can do, pal.
All right, I'm up for it. shotgun the drums.
Yeah, that's only half there. Yeah. I don't know, one of them's burst. I don't know, whatever happens to drums if they're not working. 18 shots was the total. None of them went in. Wolves probably had the better of it, Luke Moore.
Yeah, I felt like... it was a very positive result for Wolves, and credit to Gary O'Neill. I'm always ready to give credit to Gag.
Why do you call him Gag? I've never heard Gary.
It's kind of a nickname thing that people said around Pompey when he was there.
Okay.
Gag O'Neill. I don't know why, really. I don't know. I don't even know if it's extended outside of my group of friends, to be honest.
I see.
But that's how we always used to refer to him. He was like our favourite player when we were young. So, like, I guess it's just a little tribute.
A tribute, you say?
Say it yourself.
Yeah, it's a tribute, you're
say
right.
Say Gag O'Neill.
Gag O'Neill.
Yeah, it rolls off the tongue a bit better.
Does feel good. All right, yeah. I'm going to introduce it to my group of mates. then we've got two groups of people calling him Gag O'Neill. And next
you're
thing you know,
you're thinking about the nil-nil, aren't you? Anyway, I thought it was. I'm always happy to give credit to Gary, as people know, to Gag. And what I felt like is that what he attempted at one of the toughest places to go in the Premier League actually worked, and he and his team need credit for that. I think though, what that also meant was it made for a fairly boring affair, because they tried to stymie Brighton. They were able to do that. I don't think Brighton were particularly very good. It was, I thought, a fairly low quality first half, very undynamic opening. The tempo was pretty dismal. It was pretty thin gruel all round, really. You know, João Pedro, who's been exciting this season, couldn't really get into the game. You know, Danny Welbeck is always game and always tries really hard and can open teams up, actually. He can stretch teams with his running. And Marcus, I know you'll agree with me when I say that, you know, he's probably a little bit of a better player than people give him credit for. But he is short of quality at the very top level. I think we can agree on that. I didn't really think any player stamped their mark on the game in the first half. And there was that flashpoint towards the end of the first half. But, you know, I think what's typified these ramble reacts between you and me, Marcus, just the ones between us I'm talking about here, is we will make a silk purse out of a pig's ear. We will give someone something, people to grab onto and go, do you know what? Last night, that was a bit shit. And I wish I'd gone to the pub. But let's hear what Marcus and Luke got to say about it. And I think we've got to give it to the listeners. We've got to give them what they need.
Yeah, I've never so when there was a little flashpoint in the first half, I've never craved a flashpoint
turning into a fight.
Hit him. Do you know what I mean? I was like, come on, give us something in this first half. Yeah, okay, fine. And then the second half, when, because you're right, the way Wolves approached the game, it worked. They stopped Brighton from scoring. They only go away with a point. But if they'd have put away one of their chances, as they had towards the end, then maybe it would have been different. But you're just gagging for a goal. And when was it Cunha goes to go round the goalkeeper? I mean, it was just
such poor quality.
It was just like, Jermaine Genius was crying out on the commentary, saying, just take it round him. You're the favourite to get the ball. Why then knock it one way, then go the other?
It's just a heavy touch, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, I know, but he could have gone the same way as the ball and it would have been fine. And do you remember years ago when Danny Murphy always seemed to get the only goal of the game when Liverpool went to Old Trafford?
Yeah.
It was one of those games, the one when he sort of scored a bit of a lob towards the end of the game. And I remember being in a pub. I mean, you're going back a good 20, 22 years here. And I remember, I'm Liverpool versus Manchester United. I've not got any dog in the fight. You want to see a good clean belt and all that. And when the goal went in, I remember half the pub just erupted because it was like, thank goodness, it's a bloody goal. Like, it was that. Yeah. And this game didn't quite give me that. No. Whereas I thought it was going to. Cunha, as I say, had a chance. Neto went forward as well. Lamina, I wouldn't have fancied him to score it. He had, you know, not a bad effort, you know, fairly comfortable save for the keeper. But Wolves did that thing where they're sharp on the break. You know, the commentary team said this at this point in the season, it's the most goals they've ever scored in the Premier League, I think.
I think they're the top scoring team in the second and the bottom half, which I know is damning them with faint praise, but even so, they have at times in the recent past struggled to score.
Yeah, and we talked about them at the start of the season, saying, you know, look good going forward, but where are the goals going to come from? Well, the goals have been going in. They're obviously missing Wang, who's away, Asia Cup duty. Yeah. But, you know, I think to myself, Gary O'Neill, the way he kind of set them up, on another day they do convert a chance like that and they win the game 1-0. And, you know, you can call it a smash and grab. Well, that's fine, because Wolves are not a Champions League side. They are currently a mid-table Premier League side wanting to break into that top 10, which they've got a great chance to do this season. Then when they go away to a side who are above them in the table, they're gone. Yeah. You know, you have to say Brighton, again, looking at the league table and what they've done in recent seasons, are a better side than Wolves. Not much in it, you'd say, but they, you know, they're playing Europa League football and so on. It gives them a bit of a blueprint. We've harked on many times about that first game of the season at away at Old Trafford. You know, this gives, you know, Wolves, you know what you're going to get when they play a superior team. Not always, but generally speaking, that's what you're going to get. And I think Wolves fans, don't want to talk on behalf of a whole fan base, but I'm going to. No, I think I think they accept that. I think you go away to Brighton, okay, you haven't scored, but give a good account of yourselves, and you think, do you know what? Performances like that will climb up the table.
Yeah, and I think, you know, also it's probably worth throwing a bit of extra context into the chat cauldron by saying that return fixture, second Premier League game of the season at Molineux. Brighton absolutely smashed Wolves.
Yeah,
they were all over them. You know, yeah, it was a masterclass by Enciso, by Solly March. Esty Pinan scored, I think, from memory. They beat them 4-1. For those listening, who don't spend all their time thinking about this kind of stuff, and it was a proper job. You know, and that was, I think, because what happened was Wolves had lost their first two Premier League games of the season, and everyone was a bit, because you know what football can be like, everyone was a bit like, oh my God, how's Gary O'Neill going to get on, type of thing. And obviously he's managed to do what he's been able to do now, and we've seen a number of teams perhaps operating around the bottom half of the Premier League table with managers with pretty solid ideas. Think of Andoni Iraola at Bournemouth, for example, where their ideas are now starting to kind of bear fruit. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been the case with Wolves under O'Neill for sure. So, I mean, whichever way you slice it, you know, Brighton have key players missing or whatever, but it is an improvement, a vast improvement on the return game at the start of the season. So, you know, absolutely. And by the way, also, you know, Gary O'Neill isn't responsible to people who would like to see a good game on a Monday night when it's windy outside. I mean, you know, it's nothing to do with him. He wants to get points, and points away from home at Brighton.
You defend Gary O'Neill, but if that was David Moyes' West Ham, you'd be sticking the boot in.
I don't mind Moyes. I've not ever nailed my colours to the Moyes out. Mast, you flipped and flopped, mate.
No, I've been Moyes.
Rishi Sunak at the Ramble, you are.
Oi, right. That's taking it too far, and you know it is. That's naughty. I'm a Moyes in man, but admittedly, yes, if I was with a group of tough-looking West Ham fans, name a Moyes out people, yeah, I would flip flap.
Change your mind.
Yeah, but only in that specialist circumstance.
Oh, I'll tell you what, if you knocking about with a bunch of hard West Ham fans, you would stick out like a poplar in a pond.
Would I?
See a mile off, they would.
But for good reason, because presumably chaps like that are well into the Ramble.
And also, you're a class act.
And classless in the best way.
They would see you. I certainly don't agree with that. certainly not. But yeah, I'm just saying, you're aspirational for them. You know, you position yourself as someone who's far higher up than them. And you would probably teach them a few things they needed to know. I expect the first thing you'd say if you bumped into them was, I expect you wonder why I sent for you today.
my first thing is, yeah, I live in an ex-council flat too.
Yeah.
That's what I'd say.
Oh, yeah, that'll really endear to him, that.
I didn't always, but I do now.
Yeah. So what you're saying is you're on the way down. That's London Liverpool.
I'm trying to meet people halfway.
Yeah.
Why do I play into your stereotype of me being some ridiculous?
Nil-nil, wasn't it?
It was nil-nil.
What do you want to do?
Yeah, I just really wanted Roberto De Serbi to fight Sean Derry and Neil Cutler, because Derry looks like Andy Brassel. Brassel is one of the least aggressive men I've ever known, and to see a lookalike of his getting into a fight, it's been very pleasing.
Sean Derry, the great thing about Sean Derry and Andy Brassel as well. It's right in that sweet spot, because Sean Derry, who I've met, I've done a bit of work with in the long distant past, and he also played for Portsmouth, if I don't forget, as well. Great midfield player for Portsmouth for a couple of years. He is a lovely, lovely man. Mm-hmm. He looks exactly like Andy Brassel, who is also a lovely, lovely man. Mm-hmm. And they are exactly the same age.
Yeah.
It's an amazing set of circumstances, you know. And if one is truly going to call oneself an atheist, I need to have an explanation for that set of circumstances there, because that's got to be planned by someone. Some creator out there has designed that to happen.
And
we're all just enjoying it. We're all just wallowing in it.
Yeah. What would you rather? Would you rather a film about Andy Brassel's life played, and Andy's played by Sean Derry, or a film about Sean Derry's life played by Andy Brassel?
I'd do a two-parter at the cinema, interval in the middle,
like
and have a bit of both.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Fair enough.
I would just say on the fighting thing. Yeah, look, we all want to see a fight. I don't care if the game's brilliant. I still want to see a fight. The thing that you could probably throw into the mix on that though, Marcus, was that we kind of touched on it slightly earlier. Yeah. The Mateus Cunha thing, where he was very upset leading into the half-time that he had been booked for an altercation with, I think, Billy Gilmore. That wasn't really an altercation. He couldn't stop himself, couldn't get out of the way. Mm-hmm. The referees booked him. And he went... I mean, Jermaine Genius seemed to make out that it was fine to do it and it was very respectful. Not that he could actually hear what was being said, by the way.
No.
So he can't make that judgment. Let's make that absolutely clear. But Cunha was following the referee down into the tunnel, remonstrating about it. And I thought, I'll tell you what... If he carries on like this, we have seen in the Premier League this season players get another yellow card pretty quick.
Yeah.
It happened in the Man United game earlier in the year, from memory.
Yeah.
He could go. If he goes, the game opens up and we're all in for the second half. Didn't happen, sadly.
Didn't happen. Although I fear that Wolves would have just played deeper and they wouldn't have had those moments on the break. But anyway, it didn't happen, and we don't know. But the aforementioned Jermaine Genus and commentator Adam Somerton did spend a few minutes talking about pre-match dinners, or pre-match food at least, which I found sort of mildly enjoyable. Apparently old JJ would have a bowl of cereal and a load of Lucozade before games.
Bit of a Vardy about that.
Little bit of Vardy. I wonder if he put the Lucozade on the cereal, which would be quite questionable.
Get it done.
Yeah, apparently Gareth Bale liked lots of baked beans.
Yeah, so did Alan Shearer. Alan Shearer was a big... I think Alan Shearer was like a lean chicken breast and beans kind of guy.
Yeah, I kind
of which
get
I find interesting because, like, presumably... And as anyone who's ever met me will know, I'm quite simply not a nutritionist, but I think I'm right in saying you want some kind of pretty simple carbs for quick energy release when you're playing. So that's why people would tend to eat a banana or two maybe an hour before the game. You want to get something that's going to get you on board and give you energy. That's why, for example, you'd see back in the day, back in the glory years, you'd see Rio Ferdinand polishing off the Jaffa cakes.
That's right.
If you're running... an organised race of some distance, shall we say, you will get people dishing out things like jelly babies.
Talking about during the event.
Yeah. But I don't know what beans brings you. I think beans is basically...
Genus is not sitting down to a bowl full of Jaffa cakes. You know, are you talking about dinner? Are you talking about having a proper meal?
But I don't know what beans is bringing to the table there.
Well, look, there's a protein, the taste... Who doesn't like baked beans?
I just really like beans. What's the thinking beyond the nutrition? I haven't thought about it. I just really like beans.
Yeah, but they wouldn't have thought about it back in the day, would they?
No, probably not. But
in the 90s, do what you want.
Did you say Gareth Bale? Was that back in the day?
No, but he... yeah, that's fair, actually, yeah. I mean, it obviously worked for him for a bit. And then maybe
football, so yeah.
True enough, I think you've got to be careful there. If there are any young kids who are wondering what to eat pre-match, then load of baked beans, look at Gareth Bale. You will be incredible. For a handful of years, you will play some of the most exciting football, and then quite clearly, boredom sets in.
I feel very duty
bound.
There's
a huge cliff edge with the beans.
I feel duty bound to tell vulnerable young people that may be listening to this show in no uncertain terms that you will not get that physique from eating baked beans. There needs to be other stuff going on.
Yeah,
it can't just be beans.
They've got a lot of protein in baked beans, though.
Yeah, but stop saying that.
Yeah, but that's important. Protein's important if you want to build muscle.
Yeah, I know that. I understand that.
You're having
just
a crafty
saying,
Google. I can see what you're doing.
I'm just literally typing. This is what you've driven me to. This is how bad this game was, right? You are making me type into my computer baked beans protein content.
Okay.
6 grams per 100 grams, 6%.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's all right.
Not terrible.
It's all right. It's not too bad.
Can I just also say a massive indictment of the game itself was because you mentioned Jermaine Genus there and his performance on CoComs. You know, I often see Jermaine Genus the most these days when I'm doing my son's bedtime and he's on the One Show.
You're right.
Because that goes on the mute because it's pretty inoffensive. And it's just on in the background. He's always presenting it. He got in trouble fairly recently for doing a section on the One Show about poverty while wearing a £40,000 watch, apparently. Anyway, but he was at one point referring to the crowd as the audience.
Yeah.
And I thought, if that isn't a damning indictment on how passive this game has been, I don't know what is.
I did quite like it, though. But anyway, yeah, you are right. Something that did provide us with a little bit of stimulation perhaps was the fact that James Milner became the first player to play at every age from the age of 16 to 38 in the Premier League. I mean, to be honest with you, I think everybody probably knew that. If there was a quiz question, who's played the most, you know, every age from 16 to 38, you just go James Milner. The longevity, though, that man has had in football, look, at any level of football, is incredible, let alone at the top tier.
Oh, just, I
likes
more.
His baked beans, the way his engine and the way
he
his physique
do.
Is. Yeah.
I think what's even more remarkable is that he was saying, I think, in a little VT before the game, he was saying, yeah, it's great playing here because I sometimes get asked to come on and I don't know what position I'm going to be playing in, which is amazing for a player of his age, with total respect. And the other thing that was a huge indicator of how well he's respected and how much people love him at Brighton, both fan base and kind of internally, is Roberto De Zerbi was asked about him before the game. Mm-hmm. And the answer to the question was simply, it is an honour to have James Milner at his club.
Yeah.
That's all he said.
Yeah.
And that tells you everything you need to know. I would be absolutely delighted if he were to go on to break Gareth Barry's record for appearances in the Premier League. I think it'd be fitting. I think he has, in my view, been Certainly a more versatile player than Gareth Barry. He's achieved, from off the top of my head, I think he's probably achieved more as well.
Fewer bookings.
Almost certainly fewer bookings. I just think, you know, what an amazing career, what an amazing testament to his ability, but not just his ability, it's just his hard work. I mean, the average football career, I think, is like 2.5 years long. Yeah. You take all the players, all the professional players and the whole milieu of all the professional players in this country, I think the average career at any professional level is about 2.5 years. He's basically played for 22 years at the very top level. No one's ever going, oh, no one's ever said, as far as I know, oh, Milner should probably take a step down now. Oh, Portsmouth, who are doing well in League One, they're not going after James Milner. I couldn't get anywhere near him.
Yeah.
No, he could probably play League One football in about 7 years' time, which is just remarkable. So I'm very, very pleased for him. I hope he goes on to break that record. And I do actually think it's quite interesting, Marcus, that the two top... In fact, I think the three, because if you include Ryan Giggs, the three top appearance makers in Premier League history are all outfield players, which to me seems quite counterintuitive.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I just really hope he's rewarded in time, whenever that is, when it is next season, at the end of the season, in 3 seasons, or whatever, with a massive money move to Saudi Arabia.
He wouldn't go there, would he? I don't mean this in a horrible way. I think it's just too... It'd be too much for him.
I don't think he's bothered. He would just shrug his shoulders and go, but it's crap. It's not a good league, is
it? Yeah. But I do think also he's like a... it's possible to think of a way of saying this without sounding pretty pretty dismissive, but is he a man of... kind of fairly simple tastes.
It's not perhaps. Like a joke. there was that thing, wasn't there, they used to do when he was at Man City, I think, because there was that Twitter account, Boring James Milner.
Yeah, that's right. And he really lent into that, didn't he?
But he did, and they would do these videos of him on their club channels, which, he played it well. I thought he was quite good, so, yeah, I don't know. I can't imagine he would go anywhere, quite frankly, other than the glorious shores of this island, and why on earth would he?
And I think it's not even just that this island, though, is it? It's like for the most of his career, he's basically played in a kind of radius of about 200 miles.
Well, Brighton, obviously, big
Brighton's
move
the
for
outlier.
Indeed.
He did a little bit of time on loan at Swindon Town, but that's just a little loan. He's probably in digs.
Yeah, he's... exactly.
Probably digs with Carnu.
Yeah, well, so yeah. He's not that
been
old.
Around since God was a boy, as my granddad would say.
Oh dear.
You know, he's actually the only surviving human
Beetle.
Being from the Titanic as well.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app.
And hit subscribe.
This episode of the Football Ramble is sponsored by BetterHelp. Life throws many different challenges at us, and as a result, we all have our own sources of stress. Whether big or small, those stresses can impact our lives in unpredictable ways, and if we don't address them, they can have an outsized and unwanted impact. Therapy is a safe place in which we can address these issues, learn to understand them, and find ways to work through them. Having therapy can be beneficial to anybody, not just people who've experienced major traumas, even if you may have not considered it before. It could be simply a time for you to get things off your chest, a way to learn positive coping skills, or how to set boundaries. Ultimately, it can be whatever you need it to be. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire and BetterHelp will match you to a licensed therapist. You can even switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
We promise a little bit of African Cup of Nations chat. Well, we're going to give it to you right now. An unbelievable result happened. Ivory Coast, the host nation, and fairly recent winners of the tournament, 0. Equatorial Guinea, 4. It's not 1-0, 4-0. And people might say, oh, but Ecuador again, I bet they've got, you know, like some lad who's playing up front for Hamburg and a midfielder who's at Atletico Madrid. No, look at the players they've got. There's one lad who's written down that he plays for Huddersfield B team. Okay,
yeah, there's a couple of unattached players as well.
It is a stunning result.
Yeah, it's funny you've gone through that same process. Yeah. Oh, they must have, because I did exactly the same thing.
Right.
I'm not going to claim for 1 second that I know anything about Equatorial Guinea.
No.
So I thought, probably there's players I'm thinking of. I can't think of off the top of my head. Yeah, it's remarkable to see their squad list. It's not just Huddersfield Town B.
Yeah. No.
One of their players is Sampdoria under-19s.
I love it.
Yeah.
Potential. He's got potential, isn't he?
Like, I haven't heard of half the... So the captain of Equatorial Guinea...
Yeah.
Plays for a team called CF Intercity,
right,
in Alicante in Spain, and that they are in the I think they're not even a professional league.
Right.
I think there's only 2 professional leagues in Spain.
Uh-huh.
I think he plays for. I'm going to stick my neck out here and say I'm pretty sure he's a semi-professional football player.
Yeah.
And then you look at the squad list for Ivory Coast.
Yeah.
It's household names.
Well, you got some in there that you will know a handful of, or maybe even a couple of handfuls of players there.
Well, you're going to know Willy Bolly, you're going to know Serge Aurier, you're going to know, who else is there off the top of my head? There's Sebastian Haller, he's at Dortmund now.
I don't know if he's in, is he in the squad?
He's in the squad, yeah. There's Eric Bailly, of course, who's not available at the moment, but he plays for Manchester United recently,
yeah,
and is now playing for Villarreal. Amad Diallo is in the mix-up as well. I don't think he's in the squad, but he's a Man United player. I mean, it is a mismatch.
Yeah.
And I don't know enough about African football to know how this has happened, but it seems quite big that it's happened.
Ivory Coast are basically gone now after that. I mean, it would take something spectacular for them to creep through into the knockouts as one of the best third-place finishers in the group. And the same with Ghana. Ghana! Oh! Yeah. Yeah. My goodness.
And your African team as well.
I know. Well, I'm going to maybe change to Nigeria because they've got some Fulham players.
You can't just do that.
Of course I can.
They're big rivals as well. You can't just change to Nigeria.
Watch me.
What's interesting is that, I mean, first of all, the potman's back. Let's make that absolutely clear.
Well, a potman's back.
Yeah, I was wondering about that. I wonder how, if it's just like a kind of...
We said it was like the Phantom.
Down. Yeah, could be. Could be like Spider-Man, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. But, I mean, Ghana were 2-0 up against Mozambique. Not a fancied side, it's fair to say.
No.
Mozambique scored 2 goals in injury time, which has pretty much condemned Ghana to an exit. They win that game, they're fine, because Egypt drew 2-2 with Cape Verde.
Yeah.
After there was a couple of goals in stoppage time there, but Ghana, what are you doing?
I know the group stage isn't settled yet, but like seems to be like quite a lot of big names on the verge of kind of going out, and I wonder if that's like indicative of a kind of power shift in or a more egalitarian look of African football. I don't know enough about it. I'd love to read something about that to know if that was the case, because Ivory Coast are on the brink, Ghana are almost certainly out, Cameroon have struggled badly, Algeria have also struggled badly. They've done well in recent history. Yeah. You know, Zambia as well. I know Zambia maybe was a little bit more of an outlier when they did well under the great man.
They've got Avraham Grant now.
Yeah, well, that tells its own story. From Hervé Renard to Avraham Grant, Jesus. That's basically like being married to David Gandhi and then waking up one morning and being married to me. That's what it's like. What a juxtaposition. Like, they have been managed by Hervé. They've run the full gamut of attractiveness of coaches.
Oh dear.
And bearing in mind Avraham Grant was a couple of kicks away from winning an FA Cup with Portsmouth.
Yeah.
You know, that is his legacy.
Well, and a Champions League with Chelsea.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bigger.
Yeah, but I mean he's less relevant for our listeners. We're all part of the Luke Nation, bought and paid for, signed up.
Oh, all right, okay. Well, yeah. News to me. It's all about Bebe and Cape Verde, as I say. But Nigeria, they've yet to really kind of fire in this tournament yet. They've got Victor Osimhen up front, who's by far the standout forward now that Salah's injured. Although I suppose Mane's still there. They've got
I think Mane's not really an improving player, though, is he?
True. They've got Calvin Bassey at the back. They've got Alex Iwobi. Come on.
Yeah. Hey? I mean, I don't think Alex Iwobi's a very good player, but other than that, I'll take your point.
He's been good for Fulham, you've got to say. Even you have conceded that Alex Iwobi's...
You don't get to decide what I've got to say.
You said that the other day.
I think he's been better, definitely. I genuinely think before he moved to Fulham, he was the worst attacking player in the Premier League. So, I mean, you can't go any further than that.
That's outrageous.
Tell me someone else. You can't tell me someone else. Maybe he fits in their system better. Maybe he's got a better coach at Fulham. Maybe it's, whatever. Yes, he's been improved, definitely. I hope he does well in the African Cup of Nations because it's always great for players to do well for their national team and all that good stuff. I would agree with your assessment about Victor Osimhen. But it would be kind of interesting. I don't really know how the draw pans out, but it would be cool to see kind of Bebe, like a 33-year-old Bebe,
class,
to kind of start firing Cape Verde to the latter stage of the AFCON. But what I would say is it's going to take a lot of charitable actions from some goalkeepers along the way.
Oh, here we go. You have a go at Brassel for sucking the romance out of, football and so on. By the way, Bebe played for Manchester United. In case people are wondering what on earth this Bebe thing's about,
yeah,
check out
the story. Quite a long time ago now, wasn't it?
But he did have a couple of league appearances for Manchester United between 2010 and 2014. A lot of loans.
Yes, it's a lot of legal reasons why we can't really say what we want to say about Bebe, so we won't.
Yes.
But he was technically contracted to Man United for 4 years between 2010 and 2014.
Yep.
And I can't remember who it was who told me this story, but someone said that he put in such a poor performance for Man United once, someone said to them, he will never play for Man United again after that.
Yeah.
Because it was someone who kind of knew Alex Ferguson or whatever and said, oh, he would never accept that. It's not that he's had a bad game. It's just nowhere near good enough. He'll never play for them again. And he never did. I mean, he only racked up a handful of appearances for Manchester United in total. I think it was like seven in total.
Yeah,
to be fair to him, he did score a couple of goals, but not in the Premier League.
Yeah. But he found a home.
He's having the last laugh, though, Marcus.
Well, he is having the last laugh. He played a lot for Real Vallecano, currently Real Zaragoza. But he's only been playing for Cape Verde since 2022. But you look at him now. Everybody.
And to be absolutely fair to him, to skirt even more closer, to sail even closer to the wind, I would say, perhaps he's got an agent that does well for him. And you can say that about a lot of people in the entertainment industry, as well.
You certainly could say that.
For example, he's probably the Paddy McGuinness of top-level football, I would say. But in his defence, he has always scored goals for Cape Verde in his short international career. He's actually, this year included. So, you can't argue with that.
Who's the Pete Donaldson? Because you remember Pete had an agent for ages, and we were like, are you sure? Because it doesn't seem to do much for you.
Yeah. Because Pete would have been terrified to even call him. Do you mind doing a bit of work for that 15%? Sorry, do you mind if I have your number? You know what I mean? It would have been that kind of setup, wouldn't it?
Quite possibly.
I'd love to be Pete's agent, but I just wouldn't know how to market the man.
Yeah, true enough. Yeah. Well, anyway, we wish Bebe and the boys all the best. And
I suppose Bebe is a bit like Pete Dodds. He's really hard working if you can find him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It'd be intriguing how the knockouts shape up for the African Cup of Nations. As you say, we could have a winner who's not usually one of the big boys, but there we are. Right, everybody, do join us again on Wednesday for more nonsense. And remember to get on the extended version of Wednesday's show. You can do that by signing up to our Patreon for just $5 a month. You also get ad-free episodes of the Football Ramble, OTC and Upfront, and access to the Discord where you can shoot the shite with other ramblers. In the meantime, find us on Twitter, currently known as X, TikTok, Instagram, and YouTube at Football Ramble. And remember to subscribe on your podcast app. I can't remember the bloke's name, but
Do you want to tell people why you're laughing at that? Because someone's taken a big amount of offence on the YouTube channel that you keep calling Twitter, X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah,
and
very
unhappy.
Do it
anymore. Yeah. I mean, what's really interesting about that is, one, the guy has taken about four paragraphs in the comment to miss the joke. Two, he's got no idea how motivating that will be for you to double down to do this for twice as long as you're ever going to do it in the first place. And he has made it worse, not just for himself, for everyone.
Everybody, yeah. And the thing is, though, what I think is quite shocking about the whole thing is he's disrespecting the Musketeer, who put a lot of effort into that brand change. X, genius, absolute genius. The app, you tap on the app, you know it's it because it's got a big X on it.
I got a Musk fanboy in my mentions earlier this week.
Did you?
Saying that, what you guys don't understand is that Elon Musk trying to turn Twitter, now X, into a one-stop marketplace for every need you have on the internet. I just went back to him and said, I don't care. What part of me do you think cares about that? What are you talking about? Leave me alone,
you
weirdo.
Time waster.
He doesn't care about you either, by the way. He'd tread all over you for a tenner.
Maybe drive over you in one of his cars.
Yeah, probably would.
Is he still involved in that? Who gives a crap? Right, let's get out of here. Thanks for listening.
See ya.
Lot of love.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
The Championship season is over, and what a season it was.
But the best is yet to come. It's the playoffs.
Who will make it to the Premier League?
And who will be left heartbroken at Wembley?
Stay across it all with The Second Tier.
We're bringing you episodes after every leg.
And in between, we're revisiting the greatest moments in playoff history.
It's real conversation with two real Championship obsessives.
So you can be in the know about everything happening in the playoffs.
And share all your new knowledge in the pub with your mates.
So come join us.
We're your one-stop shop for the playoffs.
Search Second Tier in your podcast app
and hit subscribe.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, I'm Guy Raz, and on my show, Wisdom from the Top, I talk with CEOs and business leaders about the toughest challenges of their careers.
There's lots of ways to measure success.
Sometimes a company has to bet against itself.
We wanted to set ourselves apart by having a point of view.
Businesses really impact people's lives in pretty fundamental ways.
On Wisdom from the Top, some of the greatest business leaders of our time share their intimate stories of leadership, innovation, and transformation. Stories you won't hear anywhere else. Check out Wisdom from the Top only on Luminary. Now, back to your show.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.